I just specifically ask her for this, and it'll go along with my message today. So I want y'all to be blessed, okay? All right.
A country where no twilight shadows deepen. Unending days where night will never be. A city where no storm clouds ever gather. This is just what heaven means to me. What will it be when we get over yonder and join the throng upon the glassy sea? We'll join our loved ones and crown Christ forever. This is just what heaven means to me. When at last I see the face of Jesus, before whose image others love all flee, for this is just what heaven means to me. What will it be when we get over yonder, beaten to join the throng upon the glassy sea? Yes, we'll join ones and crown Christ forever. For this is just what heaven means to me. This is just what heaven means to me.
Right. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Woo. Thank you, Brandon, for being so obedient to the Lord this morning. And he's on one today, isn't he? What'd you have for breakfast, brother? I tell you. All right. Brother North, thank you for being obedient and coming down, and even what you said. Many of you know I've had trouble with my left knee, and knowing that I'm going to get up and speak for a little while, normally I will sit after about the second song and just arrest the knee. But you know, he started talking this morning, and I said, "Okay, God," I said, "I want something this morning." And I promise you, as I stand here before God, as Brother North, you were being obedient, the pain just started ceasing in my knee, I'm telling you. And so, I don't know if you noticed, I stood for all the songs. And so, God is so good. God is so good. And he's just looking for somebody who's going to believe him. Amen. Amen. So, thank you for that. Let's just, also, we've got Billy, not Billy, I'm sorry, William and Daniel in the back. We want to remember their family. We want to pray a comfort over them at the loss of their uncle, Paul Henson. who passed away a few days back. So in their grieving, we all know when we lose a loved one, how many know that's hard? And but we have an awesome God who comes in and comforts us and strengthens us. So would you just stretch your hands out to them right where they're at? Sister Judy, would you come stand behind them right there? Sister Cherry, won't you just work your way over there to them? Right quick. Father, we just thank you for William and Daniel. Lift them up to you this morning, God. I just ask, God, that you would just comfort them in the days to come, Lord, as they get together with family and others, God. And we just thank you now for what you're doing in their lives, oh God. They didn't have to be here this morning, but they chose to come and be in the presence of the King. And so, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I just ask that you do something special for them today. Lord, lift them up. Comfort them, Lord, in the time of need. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. So we had a good time last night. Bailey, happy birthday. And sweet 16. And boy, y'all got after it last night. I'm glad Brother North showed himself today. I mean, you know, after last night out there on that floor. I was telling someone, isn't it so awesome that we can just enjoy in a good atmosphere of having fun and fellowship? You got to know, I was sharing with someone last night, you know, many of us came out of very strict religious surroundings, okay? And we wouldn't dare think of doing that, what they did last night. And so, you know, becoming pastor 23 years ago, and I still had some of that old junk in me. And I'll tell you the night that it broke, and I shared with someone. I said it was many years ago. We were in the community center. We were having a Christmas service, Brandon, and at a particular part of that service, here Darlene and I sit with all of our family and friends and church family, and Brother and Sister North get up there, and they take hands and put their arms around each other, and they danced to the song. I'm telling you, the chains broke of religious junk off of me that night. Now, that didn't mean Darlene and I was going to get up there and do that, you know, because we... I kind of eyed her. She said, don't even ask me. She said, don't even, you know. So, you know, she would say that we laughed because, you know, she said, she, you know, couldn't, you know, what, sing a tune, a song, you know, and carry a tune in a bucket, you know, that's what it, that old saying. But, you know, it was so funny because, man, she would sing like a dove in the shower, you know, it just... So I told her, I said, I'm going to record you one of these days. Let people know you really can sing. I didn't, but anyways. Anyway. Hey, we're going to have another fun time this afternoon. Sister Lutine, part of our church family, is 87 yesterday. Oh, my gosh. Isn't that awesome? So their family's going to have a come-and-go gathering here this afternoon, 1:30 in the gym. So please, after you go to lunch or wherever you want to go, stop back by. You don't have to stay long, but come in and greet her and just spend some time with them. And so I think that would be very sweet. Amen? Amen. Something else that we're doing, Michelle and Destiny had called me the first of the week and asked me a particular subject and something about a particular movie. And I don't know if you've seen the Jesus Revolution. I had not seen it, so I could not answer their questions. But, you know, I rented it online on Monday afternoon, and I sat for 2 hours watching that. And, of course, as a pastor, as what the movie was doing, it told the history, or it was a movie about Chuck Smith, who began Calvary Chapel, and then Greg Laurie, who came as a hippie up and got converted and eventually took over Chuck Smith's ministry. and that church. It's a huge following, and Chuck Smith was the one that baptized all the hippies out in the ocean. And I'm telling you, as they were baptizing hundreds, you know, I boohooed. I had to tell somebody I boohooed through the whole thing, you know. And it's just one of those things. I don't watch a lot of movies. I don't go very often. Every once in a while I will with the kids. But I'm telling you, it's a very powerful movie. I'm not worried about the actors, their backgrounds, their history. If God can speak through a donkey, He can use an actor. Amen. An actor who may not serve God or may put on a front or whatever. But what was so awesome was the man that played Kessler Grammer, I think, who played Chuck Smith in the movie. Chuck Kessler Grammer, remember, was Frasier, played the part of Frasier. But that movie changed his life, and he gives his testimony of how God did that. Awesome, awesome movie. I would recommend you see it. We're going to show it in August. We're going to have a movie night in the gym where it's cool, and we're going to plan and just have some refreshment. So we want to do that where if you want to come and just enjoy, it's a two-hour movie. But you can bring your lawn chairs or you can sit in those chairs down there. They're comfortable. But we're going to do that. I highly recommend that movie. And so if you have not seen it, if you've seen it, it'd be worth seeing it again. And oh my gosh, just see how people's lives are changed. One of the young men that started with Chuck Smith, you'll see in the movie, they parted ways. And this other young man went to Florida into another ministry, but he was instrumental in helped starting the Vineyard Ministries out of California. Very huge calling, a huge ministry. And so they all have their part in the body of Christ. Amen? Amen. Guess what? We're going to see people we never thought would be in heaven are going to be there. And the very ones you thought was going to be in heaven, you ain't going to see them. It works both ways. Amen. Amen. God does not look at denominational barriers. He's got a body. He's got a remnant that's going to come out of every denomination, every church. Amen. That was all free. It didn't cost you a thing. Okay, so amen, amen. All right. William and Daniel, we're going to continue to lift you up. We do miss our church family when you're not here. So we welcome you back home. Some been gone for a little while during the summer, but we're glad you're back here. And all of our guests, Brandon called you visitors. I like to call you guests. You're our guest. So we're going to change our terminology. How's that? We just welcome all of our guests here today and hope you feel at home. All right, let's get into the Word, okay? Thank you, Sister North, Sister Vestal. No, Sister Brenda, we thank you for your almost there, okay? And anyway, I've listened to that song all week long and goes along with my message, so I said, you got to sing it. So, you know, I don't give her a lot of notice. She doesn't need a lot of notice, but... So I don't remember when I called you, yesterday or day before, or so yesterday morning or something.
All these days have gone together.
Oh, there we go, there we go. Anyway, but it hadn't been awesome from the very beginning today. All of our singers and the Spirit of the Lord is certainly here this morning. So we got time this morning. Okay, amen. I've got a good hour and a half here, so we'll just. No, I'm kidding. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? All right, Revelations is where we're going to start with. The book of Revelations, chapter 21, beginning with verse 1. If you'll follow along, if you have your Bibles, your iPad, your computer, your iPhone, whatever you got, we've got it on the screen. And I saw a new heaven. This is John on the Isle of Patmos. He wrote what God gave him, and he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. On the new earth, there will be no seas. There will be rivers, I'm sure, but there will be no seas. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem,
coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Verse 4, and God shall wipe away all what? Tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more what? Death. Neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. Praise God. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Praise God. And he said unto me, write, for these words are faithful and true. Amen. There is a story. I'll give you my title here in just a little bit. There is a story that goes like this. A man died and he went to heaven where St. Peter met him at the pearly gates. St. Peter asked the man why he felt he should be allowed into heaven. The man replied, well, because I've helped others get out of bad situations. Oh, really? Well, then tell me about it. Well, he says, I went into this cafe off of a main highway, and there was this group of Hell's Angels, and one of them was giving this little old lady a hard time. I tapped him on his back and I asked him why didn't he pick on someone his own size? And I told him, just get your buddies and get back on your bikes and ride on down the road. Wow, St. Peter replied, that was awful brave. And when did this happen? The man said, oh, about 5 minutes ago. You'll get it here in just a little bit, okay? You'll get it here in just a little bit. Well, can I just tell you, heaven is real. And no, St. Peter won't be the one who determines whether you enter heaven. Only Christ Jesus determines that heaven is real and that you're coming there, okay? Right up front, you need to know that heaven is not a concept. It is a literal place that believers will spend eternity with Jesus Christ. When we have loved ones or a close friend who passes away, it seems that that's when we often think of the shortness of time that we have on this earth. And I'm not going to spend time today talking about heaven, what heaven looks like, or its dimensions, it's huge. I'll save that for another message. But we will look through, or look though, at what happens when you die. And if you are a believer, what you can expect in heaven. And to rightly talk about heaven, then we have to back up a minute and look again at what happened back at Calvary. And then look forward then to what we celebrate as Resurrection Sunday. Understand that through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, we were redeemed from our sins. And we must realize and know then that the invitation of salvation was for all people. Can you say that with me? All people. Christ died for all people. And the Bible says the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And it is upon then the acceptance of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross and through his resurrection that makes heaven then available for the redeemed of Christ. The Lord Jesus offered up himself once and for all as the sacrificial lamb for all of mankind and became the anointing or the atoning sacrifice for our sins. He then openly offers us a place then to dwell with him for all eternity. Heaven is a real place. It's not a state of mind.
It's not a concept. It's a literal place that God has prepared for His people. John chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. That's a big place, isn't it? He didn't say many rooms. He says many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, watch this, there ye may be also. Listen now, that this is a promise of Jesus Christ. This is a promise of Jesus Christ. And this verse does not have to be read only at funerals. Do you understand? That's mostly where we hear that verse read. This is a promise to us as believers. Believers dwelling with their Savior. Now that also tells me that everyone will not be there. Heaven was designed for the redeemed of Christ and those that want to be there. Amen. Did you hear what I said? Yes. Those that want to be there. Yes. Those that are thankful for what Christ did for them. Yes. And in Luke, Jesus' own word said that our names are written down and recorded there. Understand with me that a faulty view of heaven can cause us then to miss heaven if we believe that all will be in heaven. Meaning, if we believe that people who do not care a thing about God or what Christ did would be forced then to spend eternity with a God that they did not even acknowledge existed. The saddest thing that one can hear at a funeral is this. Well, he or she is in a better place. They are with so-and-so. Understand something this morning. If they did not know Jesus as Lord, we do not have that promise. We cannot say that if you do not know. Now the comfort then that we can certainly have is this, that we do not know what happens in the last minutes of someone's life. I believe that God in His mercy and His grace, He judges so different than us, that He can and does reach many with what they call a deathbed salvation. There happened to be in the Bible a story about a thief hanging on a cross alongside Jesus with only a short time to live. He happened to be the very first one to receive God's mercy and grace and enter paradise with the Lord God Almighty. And guess what? We have no record of him being baptized. We don't have any record of him attending Sunday school or Brandon even giving in an offering. But the Lord said, to this day, you're going to be with me in paradise. Unbelievers that say they will spend eternity with their friends in hell partying are going to be sadly mistaken. That is not biblical. And separation from God also means it will not be a pleasurable one, to say the least. Amen. How about Christians then that go about their daily lives wondering if they will make heaven, and they spend a lifetime thinking one day they're saved and one day they're not even sure. They're unsure of their salvation. Their lives are like a roller coaster going up and down. Understand something with me right now. God did not intend for us to live our lives like that. Up and down. One day you think you're going to heaven. The next day you're not sure. One day I'm going to heaven. Well, I'm not sure today. No. It really is about a relationship with Christ Jesus our Lord. And as long as things between you and God are good, simply meaning that there is a true relationship that involves you making time to commune with Him every day, allowing Him to guide your every step, allowing Him to be the center of your life and the source of all of your needs, endeavoring then to be all that you can be for Him, then you do not have to wonder every day if you will make it through or even feel like you need to do more than you're doing to be saved. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Do not listen to the devil's lies. He will do his best to keep you worried and keep you doubting and keep you unsure of your salvation. That's his job. Heaven is real, and to the believer, it will be an amazing place to spend eternity with Christ. It'll be a place of great joy, and we will see our loved ones that accepted Christ. Those that accept Christ will be in heaven. And sadly, those that choose not to put their trust in Christ, there is a separation to a place called hell. And there will be no partying going on. Only wailing and gnashing of teeth, the Bible says, forever burning but never dying. It is based then upon the choices that we make and the decisions that we make during this lifetime while we still have breath. Well, people are always asking, is heaven a real place? Yes, it is. Well, what will heaven look like? Well, the book of Revelations, especially in chapter 21 and 22, the last two chapters of the book, gives us a glimpse of heaven, of its beauty. There's no need for the sun or the moon, the Bible says, because the glory of God will light it up. Well, who makes it then to heaven? Those that are redeemed by Christ and have a true relationship with the Lord God Almighty. So what can we expect when we get there? We can expect then to be in the presence of Jesus Christ, our King, the one who died for us. We can expect to be united with those that have also accepted Christ. And I believe you will recognize your loved ones and the friends that you have made. Some years back, a father wrote a book about his young son who, while in the hospital, had an experience of Jesus visiting him, and he took him to heaven. Now, the young boy did not say anything until some time went by, and they passed the hospital, and the little boy spoke up and pointed and said, "That's where Jesus visited me." And the father did not urge him to say any more at that moment, but later, over a period of time, he asked him some questions about what had happened. And the boy said, "I saw my sister," and he called her name. The parents said they had never said anything to him about his mom having a miscarriage and losing their daughter. And he said he visited with his grandpa. Well, he never met his grandpa, who had died at the 60 years of age. That they showed him a picture and he did not recognize him. They called and they asked the grandmother about other pictures. And she happened to have one still in her Bible. And when he was at the age of 30, and when they showed the little boy that picture to him, he responded, "That's him." There will be no old folks in heaven. It's not a home for the elderly or those that cannot help themselves. Everyone will be made whole. There's no need for glasses or hearing aids or wheelchairs or walkers. Everything new. Can you say everything new?
Everything new.
New legs, new knees, praise God. New hips, new backs. Brandon, no high blood pressure. Everything will work. Why? Because we're going to have new bodies. Now, I believe that we will have responsibilities, and they will be based upon what you do in this life. And for some, just sliding into heaven will be good enough to them, just so they made it through. But I believe we will be rewarded for what we do for the kingdom right here and right now. We will not be floating on clouds playing a harp for eternity. We will not be worshiping 24/7, though I think we will be in an attitude of worship 24/7. Let me say it that way. Heaven will not be boring. The Bible says we will reign with Him in a new heaven and on a new earth. Those that picture themselves floating around on a cloud saying amen for eternity have a wrong idea of heaven. God has created something so amazing for His people. And it is far more than we could ever imagine. It will be anything but boring. And so you have to be careful. You must be careful and make sure that you keep a biblical view of heaven and not the view that Hollywood gives. If there would be anyone that would not know God if He stood in front of them, it is Hollywood. Hollywood paints it as boring and doing nothing. Yet they say everyone's going to make it to heaven. We love then to hear testimonies of people's experiences with God, but you quickly see where in many there are a lot of discrepancies. God does not need people then to exaggerate or lie about what He's doing in their lives. Can you say amen? The best way then to know God and what He says in His Word then. Very quickly, I want to show you. Here are some things to note about having the right view of heaven. Having the right view of heaven. You might want to jot these down. I've got four or five here just very quickly. Here's number one. Having an accurate view of heaven gives us a right perspective in times of trouble. Having an accurate view of heaven gives us a right perspective in times of trouble. Now I'm going to read the verse. I need you to watch what the Bible says. This is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16, 17, and 18. Here's Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, to the Christians there, the believers at Corinth. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now, how does that happen? That happens by the washing of our minds, by reading and studying the Word of God. Listen, He'll wash your mind clean. 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. Understand then, we really can make it through the tough times of this life because we know that this is not all there is. There is more to our life, and that's something to shout about. Can you say amen? Eternity is in the future, and these present trials are only temporary. The frustration of flat tires. The frustration of lost keys. The car won't start. The AC is not cooling. The fridge stops working. The freeway goes down to a snail's pace. Or someone screaming at you as they fly around you. Those frustrations, guess what, are not permanent. They're what? They're temporary. Apostle Paul understood suffering. And as he preached the good news, he knew one day it would be over. And he would obtain God's rest and rewards. Here's what he wrote, Hebrews chapter 12, in the first three verses. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. Listen, that means those that have gone before us are watching our lives. And they're, what? They're shouting us on. Go, run the race, go. Let us lay aside then every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, look what He did. He endured the cross. He saw what was ahead. Despising the shame, and now is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him then that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds.
Amen. Amen. Come on.
I don't want to be weary and faint in doing what God's called me to do. Amen. All right, number two. Having an accurate view of heaven provides perseverance in times of temptation. We know we have an enemy. Amen. And he loves to come tempt us. As I said last Sunday, he's going to try to find an open door. And he will come in if that door is open. Look at your neighbor and say, shut the door. John chapter 14 again, verses 1 and 2. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So we see God provides and He prepares a place for us who are His chosen. He says, do not let your heart be troubled. Don't be restless. Don't be anxious for anything. Don't be worried. Don't doubt. But He says, believe in Him. Listen, He's going to take care of us. He's already gone before us, got a place prepared for us. But He's going to take care of us right now. We have His Spirit that promises to be our comforter and our guide right here on earth, right now. He desires then that we endure to the end through the strength and guidance then of the Holy Spirit that is active and living and dwelling in us as believers. And we have a promise then that we will be saved. Those that endure to the end will be saved. Doesn't matter what's going to come our way. We know some rougher times are coming. But listen, we've got the Holy Spirit to lead us. Got the Holy Ghost living inside of me. Nothing to fear. Can I tell you again that this is not all there is to life in this present life? Jesus' words show that the way to eternal life, though unseen, is secure. It is as secure as your trust in Jesus. He has already then prepared the way of eternal life. And the only issue, watch this, still to be settled is your willingness to believe. Amen. Did you just hear what I said? He has already prepared the way of eternal life. The only issue still to be settled is your willingness to believe Him. That's all He's asking. Just believe me. Just believe who I am. Number three, having an accurate view of heaven provides clear priorities under pressure. Clear priorities under pressure. Now watch what the Word says. This is from 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now that's going to happen to those that are not following, not watching. The bride is going to know. We're going to sense. We're going to hear that trumpet sound. But those that do not have their lamps shining bright will miss the bridegroom when he comes. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? How should we act right now, knowing those things are upon us? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Stay with me now. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, and we do, be diligent that ye may be found, what? Of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. So having an accurate view of heaven will definitely provide us clear priorities under pressure. Listen now, God has got this. God has got this, Sister Linda. And as I said last Sunday, we are not to be in fear of the end time events. Jesus tells us those that endure to the end will be saved. And we can endure, watch this now, we can endure if we stay tuned into the frequency of heaven. Brandon has preached to us about that. Number four, having an accurate view of heaven gives us a proper view of one's possessions. Having an accurate view of heaven gives us a proper view of one's possessions. Watch this now. Matthew chapter 6, 19 and 20. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. Now we know that this is not all there is, and we want to see others make heaven. And yes, I believe we all have a hunger to see the kingdom of God grow. And so we certainly have to live out our lives right now. Can you say amen? Amen. And having stuff, I want you to listen to me close. Having stuff is not a bad thing. We need things to live. Amen? Amen. As long as stuff doesn't have you. And watch this. As long as you are not in bondage to your stuff. Well, I can't put that in the garage sale. I might need that one day. No, I can't. No, I haven't used it in 5 years, but, you know, I might use it here the next day. and we hoard and we fill our garage up and we fill every bedroom up. And we've seen them on TV. You've seen the hoarders on TV. Oh my gosh. They eventually have to destroy the house. Take the little old mama to a nursing home to get her away from her house. I'm going to use that stuff. I haven't used it in 20 years, but I know I'm going to need it. You're in bondage to the stuff. And that's what God is telling us. Woo! That didn't cost you anything either. Luke 12, 18 through 21. Jesus is speaking of a certain rich man. And the man said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will bestow or store all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat and drink and be merry.' But God said unto him, 'Thou fool.'" Now that's pretty bad when God calls you a fool. "This night your soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou, whose shall those things be which thou then hast provided? So is he then that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." I want those eternal riches from God. Amen. It's not a sin to have things to live today. But again, let's not be in bondage to stuff. Amen. You have to know again, heaven will be an amazing place to dwell with our Lord forever. Heaven is real. It's a literal place where we will spend eternity. It is not so much where it is as who we will spend eternity with. Heaven then is an undeserved gift that is made possible because of Jesus Christ. And when he comes to, when it comes to near-death experiences, the lines between dreams and reality, we know, are often blurred. But when it comes to Scripture, we can be certain. Would you look at your neighbor and say, "We can be certain"? We can rely then on God's Word to reveal to us what could never otherwise be known. So yes, heaven is real. And yes, heaven is the home of righteousness. And yes, heaven is a place filled with real people enjoying the love and the fellowship of a real God. Can I just say that again? Heaven is a place filled with real people enjoying the love and the fellowship of a real God. Galen, would you come on up, brother? So how do we make it to heaven? Understand with me, Jesus did not just point the way. He said, "I am the way." He didn't just teach the truth. He said, "I am the truth." He didn't just show you the life. He said, "I am the life." And apart from Jesus, there is only death. And the world says that this is narrow. The world says this is narrow-minded thinking. Why would you say that? That he's the only way. In our world of tolerance, they say then that Jesus is just one of many ways to heaven. As I close this morning, listen to me. Jesus is not a good way to heaven. He's not the best way to heaven. He's the only way. He's the only way. There is no getting around it. It's not what about what you or I think. It doesn't matter what you think or I think. Jesus did not ask for our vote as for the most appealing candidate for Savior of the world. He said he is the Savior of the world, Period. Would you look at somebody and say, period? And instead of worrying about it being a narrow way, we can praise God and count on the fact that it is the one surefire, real way to get there. Amen. I had to look up the term surefire. That means it is. It's so. Amen. It's the way. Surefire. And save the matches. Amen. We all know when you've got a bunch of options, it causes confusion. You go to a fast food drive-thru and you have all of those combo meals to choose from. And so you just stare for the longest time in indecision. Is it number one, number two, number three? Do I want bacon or not? Do I want double patty or not? And you hear them breathing hard in the speaker, you know, they're, you know. Take your time, honey, as long as you need. Just let me know when you're ready, you know. Except my granddaughter, Avery, she knows that now it will always be a 10-piece nugget meal with large fries, a drink, and barbecue dipping sauce. It's no longer a 4-piece Happy Meal. Because she informed me that she's older now. Okay. I can't get away with a Happy Meal. I got to go the full deal. Amen. Now, I pull good ones on her. I take the large drink, okay? I'm not going to let her anymore drink the large Dr. Pepper, okay? I let her have a sip, but... Mom and Daddy corrected me on all of that, okay? I don't give that to her 7 o'clock at night, amen? Amen. Right before she's going to bed. Can I tell you, though, that's what the devil wants? He wants you to look at all of the religions in the world. Well, let's try this one. No, let's try this one. No, let's go ahead and try this one. And while you play Russian roulette with your soul, you've got to know time is running out. But can I give you something to shout about? Jesus made it simple. Help me preach. Turn to someone and say, Jesus made it simple. There's one way. Go ahead and tell them. It's one way. It's by the way of the cross and through the blood. Amen. So my question this morning, have you been that way? Yes. You can today, and you can be saved. Did you know that when you mention the Holy Ghost, in a lot of churches, people get nervous? It especially happens, I don't know why, but in Baptist churches. They get nervous when you say Holy Ghost, because they don't know what is going to happen. Amen. But listen, you cannot be a successful Christian without the Holy Spirit in complete control of your life. Can you say amen to that? Again, heaven is real. And heaven is a place filled with real people enjoying the love and fellowship of a real God. And I want to go there. One man meant to say hallelujah, and he said, Honolulu, I want to go there. I don't want to go to Honolulu. I want to go to heaven. That's free. Amen. And I want to take as many as I can with me. Amen. Amen. Let me encourage you this morning to examine your heart anew. Make sure you're tuned into the frequency of heaven. Allowing the Holy Spirit of God to lead you and guide you then on a daily basis. Know that you have an enemy who wants to keep you down. He wants to keep you confused and always doubting your salvation. But remember that you can live a life of victory knowing who you are in Christ. And you can know to whom you belong to. And you can know that you have a heavenly home prepared for you to spend an eternity with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Himself. Can we make the right choice? We still have time, but you need to know the door is closing. I want to make heaven my home, but until then, I want to fulfill, it's my prayer every day, I want to fulfill God's purpose in my life right here and right now. And I'm going to occupy Sister North till He comes. Let's all stand together this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Brandon, would you come? Sister North, would you come? Gary, come on down here and stand with us. Brother Tony, Gary, Linda, come on down. Y'all come on down. Harabashatarabasatabakaya. I want to give you the opportunity. If you've never made the Lord your Savior, today would be a great day to do it. You can leave this house today sure of your salvation. You can be sure of your salvation. Can I just ask you a question? If you died tonight, do you know where you will spend eternity? Oh, Pastor, that don't happen. We never know the next moment of our lives. It can be snuffed out just like that. Now, if you're already a believer and you're in God's hands, there's no devil in hell going to snatch you out. Cancer can't take you out. A car wreck can't take you out because you're in His hands. Only until He says it's time, I need you to come on up here. Your time is finished. I happen to believe, just like Stephen fell asleep while they stoned him, he was seeing the Lord. But I'm telling you, as an unbeliever, if you don't have Jesus in your heart, you're not promised another minute, another hour. Just know you can be sure of your salvation when you leave this place today. This is not a condemning word. This is a lifting up word. Be sure. He's already prepared a place for you. Once you receive Him as your Lord and Savior and you ask Him to come into your heart, can I tell you, it's not going to be a bed of roses. You're still going to go through fires of life and the floods that will come. But guess what? You then have a promise because you have made then a covenant with Almighty God. And He promises to never leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you through the storm. I'll be with you through the flood. I'll be with you through the fires of life. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. You can be sure today. Can I give you that invitation today? Would you make your way down? Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. God's Word tells us if you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you in that day when you stand before me. And guess what? We're all going to give an account of our lives before God. Your life is going to come into account. Well, let's see. What did you do? How did you live your life? How did you serve me? It's when you'll give an account. And He'll either say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into my rest," or "Depart from me, I never knew you." I don't want to hear that. I'm telling you, my prayer, even as a pastor, I say, "Lord, I don't want to take any sins into judgment. I want you to deal with me right now. Right here, right now, Lord. You see what I did yesterday, what I said yesterday, and I can't do a thing about it. Yesterday's come and gone. So, Lord, this morning as I rise and I put my feet on the floor, I'm asking for mercies. Your word tells me there's new mercies every day that I can reach for, and your grace to make it through the day. So I thank you for mercy and grace today. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I can't do a thing about yesterday, but I can today walk the best way I can in obedience to you. Do I make it all day long? Not all day, some days. I say, oh God, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. Didn't mean to put my doggies down that way. When one dog didn't obey me, he just looked at me and kept going. And I hollered at him. And yeah, I called him all kind of things. And he stops and stares at me. And he turns around and comes back. He says, I can't believe you called me that. We serve a merciful God. Today, if you'll surrender your heart and life, he'll take out the stony heart and he'll give you a heart of flesh. Would you let him do it today? I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you right now. You see that it was not a coincidence that each and every person that was here today, that came into this house, Lord, I thank you for what you've already done today. I thank you for taking my pain away as we worshiped you today in song and listened to the obedience of your word. I thank you, God. You're a healing God. You're a merciful God. You're a delivering God. You're the way maker. I thank you today. God, I ask you to speak to the hearts of your people, those that don't know you today, and those that really are even unsure of their salvation. Today, Lord, they can know without a doubt that they're saved and they'll make it to heaven. I thank you today, and I give you the praise. Be with us this week. Bring our families back together this week, God. Safe and sound, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for your protection round about us. We're walking in covenant with you. I thank you, God. And we ask it in Jesus' name. One more time, anybody, if you're not sure of your salvation today, don't let it pass you by. All right, we're going to continue to pray. Why don't you make your way? God bless you. Some are going to eat and then come back at 1:30 to be with our church family for a little while. It's come and go.